Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Tuesday morning, so we are talking about getting healed, becoming complete, entire, and whole, spirit, soul, and body. We've been talking about the results of getting healed. And a lot of times just remembering what it is that we're shooting for keeps us motivated in following through with the process of getting those wounds healed. Change is hard. And a lot of times we have been enjoying being wounded. We can use that as an excuse to not do certain things, to not change our beliefs about certain things. But when you know God, being wounded is not part of His world. So He's not going to let you continue to live as a wounded person. So if you're going to know Him, which in your spirit, you're already knowing Him. He is determined to heal you. So commit to the process and recognize that regardless of how difficult it may be at times, because change is hard, and sometimes we find out things about ourselves that we were preventing that healing because it gave us control in our lives. Or even that we continued, when we find out how much we contribute to our own woundedness, that can also be a shock as well. So we're looking at many of the results of getting healed just to keep us encouraged and motivated, and so we can recognize that when these results become apparent in our lives, we have been healed in an area. There are a lot of times when God will heal us and we won't know about it until after the fact. There's even times that God heals us that we never know about. He just does it because He doesn't want us wounded in that area. So He's not under any obligation whatsoever to tell you that He's healed an area. And we may or may not ever recognize that healing. So God's not in this. God's not healing you to accomplish His purpose, to get credit, to teach you. He's healing you because He wants you whole. And to do that, He has to heal you. You're not going to be able to join Him as a complete being, spirit being, with a soul living in a body with those wounds. So He goes after those wounds, whether we know about it or not. So you don't have to convince Him. This is why you need to heal me. And one of the big methods we use on Him is, or on ourselves, is, you know, God is allowing this to occur, or did allow it, so that when I am healed, I will be able to minister in that area. That's our own justification. Now, that may be an aspect of a project God gives you. The that you will also be able to have empathy and sympathy for someone else. And it may give you a boldness to exercise authority. But that doesn't mean you have any greater authority than anyone else. So say you've been battling cancer. Many people are taught, many Christians are taught that once you're healed of that cancer, you can then go out and pray for others, and they're more likely to get healed or have a marriage restored or overcome emotional wounds, that you'll be then be able to go out and pray for someone and have more authority over that. Well, there may be a greater effect when you pray for someone, but it's not because you have greater authority. It's because you believe you have greater authority. So you're going to command rather than ask. Whether you've been healed of cancer or not, and you're praying for someone who has cancer, someone who has had cancer and been healed of it, has the same authority over that cancer as someone who has never had cancer, who's never been sick a day in their lives. You and I and every other believer, each of us, has exactly the same authority as anyone else over anything. We all have his authority. We all have different beliefs. If you don't believe you have authority in an area, you're not going to exercise anything. You're not going to try. You're not going to step out. You're not going to take that authority. If you don't believe you have responsibility for learning how to use that authority, how to exercise it, you will never learn how to use that authority, how to take that responsibility. And odds are God will continue to put you in situations where he needs you, where you need to learn about what your responsibility is, distinct from God's responsibility. You know, we all so often do that. God, why don't you change this? Why did you let this happen? Why did you let me do this? Make this decision. Rather than recognizing that as a spirit being, we have full access to all the information. We have the answers to those questions. And God didn't do it. We did it. And sometimes it was because we've heard from him and we are exactly in the right place where we were supposed to be. And sometimes it's because we didn't hear from him and we're in exactly in the right place where we're supposed to be. So we want to remind ourselves as often as necessary to follow through on the projects that he's given us, so that ultimately what we're looking for is to have that greater relationship with him. So he's healing us where we need it. He's giving us the projects we need. He's teaching us about our authority and our responsibility in whatever way he chooses. He knows what you need. And it's not just that he's training a bunch of robots. He likes you, the unique person you are. And he's transforming you into a complete and entire being. And it's that transformation process that is so valuable to him, because it's through that process, it's through getting healed, that we learn to appreciate him. We learn to accept his healing, not because we've deserved it, but because we are loved of him and his nature is to give. Our purpose for him is to receive unconditionally what he wants to give unconditionally. Then as part of being a part of who he is and having his nature and character, in turn, we learn to give unconditionally what we have received unconditionally. It's not all that complicated. It's not easy because it goes against so much of what we've been taught, our own belief systems. It goes against a lot of what used to make sense to our wounded minds, to our wounded hearts. We like relying on our temperament. And God says, I'm not going to take away your temperament. I'm not going to take away your strengths and weaknesses. But you're going to learn to know me despite them. You're just going to learn how to keep them in check and not let them make the decisions for you, your mind, your will, and emotions. So, results, continuing results of getting healed. Getting healed results in freedom from control. As we are healed, we overcome that control that comes from our flesh, from our family, our past, our present, or our future. What you believe God has done to you or for you in the past often determines what you believe he is doing now and will do for you in the future. We are free to obey the Lord, to love and be loved, and enjoy true intimacy with the Lord, whether we're experiencing a feeling or not. Whether you feel close to him or not, doesn't matter. He's in you, and you're in him. And he's also filling the room you're in, or the car you're in, or the office you're in. Wherever you are, God is all in all. He's right there. We are experientially freed from sin's control because we've died to it. We learn to live according to the law of love, which is unconditional. This law of love, where we simply accept what God gives us, the law of love is grace. This law fulfilled the law of sin and death 2,000 years ago. They can't cohabitate. So often we hear of, you know, you have grace on one side and law on the other, and you have to find the balance. Well, law and grace can't cohabitate. They can't mingle. Law is conditional love. Grace is unconditional love. Someone explained to me how you can mix conditional and unconditional. Anytime you put any conditions on unconditional love, it is no longer unconditional. It can't be both. You can't have a balance. When you grasp that for yourself, you begin to recognize control when you see it, when you feel it, when you hear it. And you see how often you yourself have exercised it in your own life and over your own life. You begin to see how we all try to motivate ourselves under our own control. We try to correct ourselves, change ourselves, using our own strength. And we have this idea that we're always behind, or we're off track, or we don't know what we're supposed to be doing. So we need to find out. We need to find out what our destiny is so we can do it. Well, those are all conditions. In other words, if you don't find out what your destiny is, you can't fulfill it. That's a condition. That's not God. God's unconditional love says, I'll make sure you fulfill everything I've called you to do, and I'll do it by doing it all in your spirit. So it won't be tied to time or this earth at all. So when we think in terms of, well, if I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, how can I do it? God says, you've already done it. You're off the hook. I'm not even thinking about what you're doing or not doing. And when we begin to see the stark contrast that there is, you cannot mingle unconditional with conditional. As soon as you add one condition to unconditional, it's no longer unconditional. Period. So we look, and then we look at, okay, well, if that's the case, then what about this? What about that? Well, those are different questions, aren't they? In other words, if we're told to tithe, and we're doing a tithing series on Saturdays, and appreciate all of you that are listening in and hopefully getting something out of this. If we're told that if we don't tithe, then the church will go under. You know, how will the pastors be able to plan their building projects or their missions or their outreaches or their salaries? They need to have a salary. Well, those are separate questions, aren't they? Then it's not about the tithe. It's about how do we support, or even if we support, religious organizations. So when we start looking and thinking and go and breaking things down and going, what is the real question here? What is my real issue? What am I really thinking? What am I really feeling? What am I really doing in this situation? What's really going on? And we find out that very often we've been using a belief to keep us from really dealing with issues. So what do I mean by that? Say you belong to a church, and all your life you've been taught to tithe, and you've tithed faithfully, but now you're in financial straits. And it's killing you to still be given that 10% rather than paying on your mortgage or putting food on the table or putting gas in the car. And you're struggling with this issue. But when you take it to your pastor or your friends or even your own beliefs, you've never heard anything other than if you tithe, God will take care of you. And yet he doesn't seem to be, or not the way you expect it, or you feel out of control in that area. Well, there's two different issues. There's one, what is God telling you to do with your finances? And the other is, what credibility is there in others telling you what is right and wrong for you? Who has the authority in your life? It's either God or someone we have allowed to to kick him out of that throne within us. And regardless of who it is, if it's not him, you are being deceived. You are believing a lie. And it's being reinforced within you. So as you are healed, because we'll go through some of these things at some point in our Saturday series about the consequences of not giving, of not tithing. Sometimes in our own, if we don't tithe, if you don't coerce the people and convince them that they have to pay 10%, then they won't give at all. Well, that's really the issue, isn't it? If you can't use God to get someone else to do what you want them to do, they won't do it. Doesn't that sound like an awful lot like religious manipulation? We're using God, beliefs concerning God, about his character, about his intention, to get people, to manipulate people to do what benefits us. Or at least to get control over them, to get them to do what we want them to do, believe what we want them to believe, even feel. I mean, think about the music very often. And it's there to elicit a response of a certain kind. Very often, God is not the initiator. He's always there. So very often we do get in the state where we leave other things behind, our cares of our day, where we can receive him the way he wants to be received, unconditionally. But it could have gotten there much more easily just by asking, rather than responding emotionally to music that's being used to change our beliefs, change our reaction, to elicit a response. You know, and then there's the guilt. So many areas we are vulnerable because we have not been healed. And yet then when we are healed, very often that's when we have the hardest choices. Just continuing with our example, if you're healed of that area of believing that we are no longer under the law except for these three things. You have to go to church, you have to tithe, and you have to evangelize. All the other laws God fulfilled, Jesus fulfilled, but those three are still in effect. You don't have to sacrifice animals anymore. And you can, you know, you don't have to worry about how long you grow your hair or what you're wearing, if it's mixed cotton and wool, and all these other laws when you really start looking into the laws and precepts. Those are all taken care of, except for the ones that benefit someone else. Except for the ones that can be used to manipulate and control you. When you are healed in that area and you begin to see how you've been manipulated and controlled, you've got a choice to make. And these are some of the hard parts of the results of getting healed. Is, are you going to continue to live under those lies, even though you know the truth? And there may be times when God says, no, I want you to continue attending this church because there's others I want you to reach out to, or just, he may not even give you a reason. that doesn't mean you reject your healing and say, well, I'm going to, if they're going to continue to believe this about, you know, that I have to do these three things, then I'm going to have to believe those things. No, you don't. You continue in the freedom and resist, deny, reject that those attempts to control. So when they find out that you haven't been tithing, you haven't been filling out your envelope, you haven't been doing your direct withdrawal, and they say, you know, what's up? And you say, I just don't believe in that anymore. And you let them do whatever they need to do. They may even, you know, kick you out of the church. Well, that's fine. And there's been cases where people have been kicked out of the church, but to keep their roles up, they'll keep you on the roll. They'll keep you as a member of their church. Because they want you as a number, but not as a person. Because you're not contributing to their projects. But you're not their project. They are yours. Lord, what do I do here? Is there anything I can say? Is there anything I'm to be doing? Because once you've experienced that freedom, there's no going back. He'll not let you. Your captivity is turned into freedom and wholeness. And we learn to live as creatures that have never existed before. Who you are now has never existed before. So you have to learn how to live a whole new way. And others around you will be provoked, just as when Jesus was walking around. The example, the pattern he left was, he was taught of his father. He relied and depended on his father. That's the example he left us. Not on how many days he did this, what he said here, how he behaved here, but the communication he had was always with the father. So as we are in these situations and we change, we will have to interact and deal with the choices regarding those around us who are reacting to our change. It's funny that very often when God heals us, there may be an area that doesn't bug you anymore. And that may be frustrating to others who have been using that against you. In other words, you had a button, and they just knew how to push your buttons. Whether it was to provoke you to react or manipulate you. In other words, get you to emotionally respond or decisively respond. That playing music a certain way is going to get an emotional response, and reminding you about your tithe is going to get a whole different kind of response. Well, when you no longer respond to those buttons being pushed, that those the wires to the buttons are still going to be there. But no matter how hard they push, it's not going to have the same reaction. That's going to throw them off. And so just as with Jesus, you may end up with a lot of reaction outside, surprising, unpredictable, from the outside sources to your getting healed. That's all part of the package. Accept it, realize it, evaluate it, and ask God what to do with it. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again on Thursday at 7:30. Until then, you can always get in touch with me at diane@wecanprepare.org. Check out the blog site at We Can Prepare, and we will be getting back with you Thursday, 7:30. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio.